I love this day. I think that this day is the greatest day for any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm glad for the day that I got saved. Now, don't take me wrong. That was the greatest day for me because I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm glad that old things have passed away. I tell you what, you wouldn't have liked me what I used to be. And I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. Amen. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. But it can only happen through and by the precious blood of the Lamb of God tonight. People try to pick up a new life by their own bootstraps. I've seen it so many times, but failure comes. But man, what a pity. What a pity for one to go through life believing that they've merited the favor of God and then stand before the judgment of God. And God say, depart from me. I never knew you. Wouldn't that be awful? Matthew chapter 27 tonight. Matthew chapter 27, verse 33 through 36 tonight. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 33, said, when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. I want you to really look close at verse 36 tonight. And sitting down, they watched him there. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege that you've given us, Lord, together in thy name. Father, we thank you for the love of God tonight. Father, for the salvation that was given on that cross. Father, we ask, Lord, tonight that you'll just bless. Lord, the way that you see fit, we'll give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated tonight. Just want to get a little here through the crucifixion tonight. What would Easter be without sharing this with whom you could share it with? Amen. What would Easter be like? But I want to take and bring your attention here tonight. That is, the Lord was on the cross at Calvary, and after the brutal beating that was taking place in the hall of Pilate's judgment hall, and then the night must have been a very long night for him to go through such torment as he went through, and to be denied by his own disciples as they one of them stood out and watched. And denied even knowing him. And yet through that night he endured such shame as he endured, as they beat him and smote him and plucked his beard and whipped him with a cat of nine tails, and then stripped him of his garments, and then put his arm back on him and led him to the cross of Golgotha up there. And I think about when they he laid there, and as they nailed him to that tree that they nailed him to, and put him up there to be watched of all the people that would come. And you know how things like that are. I was talking to my grandmother once, and she was a very old lady at the time, and she was telling me about Knoxville at times when she was a young girl, how that capital punishment was issued right here in Knoxville, and that was by hanging. And she said, was telling me that people would just come for miles and miles. For some reason, I don't know what it is, but for some reason, people's drawn to seeing other people in pain, amen, and punishment. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just something in man. but they want to gawk and see these things happen. And no doubt in Jerusalem that day, there was a great crowd amongst the people there that day. And I'm thinking as they're watching him, the Bible says in verse 36 that they sat down and watched him there. They sat there, I guess, for 6 hours and watched him as he suffered in that pain and agony on that cross. And while he was there on that cross, I see tonight the prayer that was issued from our Lord and our Savior when he was in the pain and in the agony that he was going through. He put it aside and began to pray as he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Let's think about that. In man's ignorance, it is unbeknownst to him in some cases. I'm aware tonight, and I'm sure that some of them believed that he truly was the Son of God, because a centurion, a soldier, professed that he was truly God. But nevertheless, in their ignorance, I think of my own self. In my ignorance, as I went through my life for a while and would deny the Son of God and would deny the work that was wrought on the cross of Calvary for my sins, that precious blood of the Lamb of God. And I think about that often. But yet he prayed for me, amen. When I was unlovable, he loved me, amen. I think about that tonight. But I think about as he was up there and they were looking at him. I believe he said, "For this cause came I into this world. This is why I'm here." And I tell you something, but I think also tonight over in Luke 23 and 43. I think about that tonight. The promise from the cross. Amen. The promise from the cross. You know, there was two malefactors that was crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. One on his left and one on his right. And at the beginning, they both railed upon the Lord and made accusations as well as the others. "Save thyself if thou be the Son of God, and come down and we'll believe you." And you know, as they railed upon him, but one seemed to come to his senses. Amen. One seemed to come to his senses. And I tell you something, when he did, and he cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ made a promise to him. Amen. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Ain't that good to know when one will cry out to the Lord from the heart, and that God hears that cry tonight. Ain't you glad tonight for that? But I think also tonight of the provision that Christ made from that cross. Oh, when his mother and John and them were at the foot of the cross, and the Lord said out there, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." And other words, "Mama, look up at me. Look at me, mother. You brought me into this world, but this is why I came. You might not understand it. You might not know it all, but this was the purpose for me being birthed to you and came into this world to give my life a ransom. And behold thy son." And then he said to John, "John, behold thy mother." In other words, he was making provisions for his own mother at that cross that day to take her and look after her. Oh, I think tonight, and you know, the Bible says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And I'm glad tonight that he also said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men into me." Ain't you glad tonight when he's lifted up that the power of the Spirit of the Holy God will draw a man and show him what he is and what he needs, and he can come to him tonight? I'm so glad for that tonight. But I see tonight in the Matthew 27 and verse 46. Look there. In verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me tell you something tonight. Forsaken is a horrible thing. Forsaken tonight. I don't know that. I've never been in that situation. I wouldn't know it if it would probably hit me in the face. But I know this tonight. His father. You read in Isaiah 53 and in Psalms chapter 22. And you can see a picture developed there that it was Christ that the prophet was speaking of. How that his bones from that cross stirred to him. And how that the bulls of Bashan gathered about him. And how that his tongue literally cleaved to his mouth because he thirsted. But folks, let me tell you something. About the third hour, the Bible says it got dark. And for 3 hours, it was dark. I can just imagine the purpose of that. I believe tonight. I'm not for sure. I don't know. I just speculate, I guess, tonight. But God had turned his back. He didn't want nobody to look anymore upon his son and see what he was going through from that cross. I tell you something. It's enough tonight to break your heart, literally. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, I tell you something tonight. I believe the position that he was in there. You see, God allowed the full weight, the abhorrence of sin to pass on him. The Bible says he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I tell you something, you know, Galatians 3:13 says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He took our curse. We should have died on that cross. We deserving of a death such as that, because we're under the penalty of sin and death. What the law could not do, in that it was weak. God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, what a thing. What a beautiful story tonight, in the love of God tonight. What a lovely story tonight. How passionate. What a loving God that we serve tonight, and knowing that he would take that in him tonight, and God would lay all that upon him for us tonight. What a thing tonight. I think about the pain that he was enduring on that cross. You just think about what he went through the night, and even in the garden of Gethsemane, when he went away and began to pray, and told his disciples, you stay here. And the Bible says he went a little further and begin to pray. And the Bible says, sweat as great drops of blood. I'm talking about an agonizing prayer, amen. That he, in his body, that he was agonizing in the spirit with what was fixing to take place in his life. Brother Sam, I can't imagine tonight that how he was feeling. But I think, you know, about the Lord's Supper just hours before when they were in the upper room, and I was thinking about that cup, and they drank, and they broke the bread, and he shared it with the disciples, and then the cup of wine or grape juice that they shared with the disciples, and that cup, and then he gets into the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he begins to talk about that cup that he's going to drink in that garden. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. I believe it had all the abhorrence of everything that God would allow to come upon him in that cup. And he drank it to the very dregs that night in the garden. He fully, completely, and give himself over to the submissive will of the Father. For this cause, he said, came I into the world. Oh, what a thing to pain. He said, I thirst in John 19 and 28. And folks, I don't believe it was just the pain of the body that he was feeling. But I believe not only that, the thirst that was coming. It was the thirst to do the will of God. It was that surrender that he had. I think water was plumb out of the pitcher. He said, I'm poured out like water. Oh, let me tell you something tonight. Oh, it was something else. But he wanted to do the will of the Father tonight, to accomplish what he came to do in this world to accomplish. I think about the perfection tonight. In John 19 and 30, the Lord said, it's finished. It is finished to tell us that. It's finished. Nothing more can be done. You can't add to that. Amen. You can't give no more. Amen. Christ said, it's finished. It's it. Redemption. The plan of redemption. All through the centuries. You think about it. And the book of Hebrews tells us about the blood of bulls and goats. And how it was no longer pleasing unto him. But yet, through the centuries, from Adam all the way to Christ, and they would offer up lambs and bulls and goats and these animal sacrifices. And God said, when John was at the river of Jordan and seen Christ come down, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. On that cross, I'm telling you, was the Lamb of God, the perfect and supreme sacrifice that God was well pleased with. Amen. That was pleasing. It was a sweet smelling savor into the nostrils of God. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend that. I just can't. But to God, that's what he wanted. That's what he accepted. And it was foreordained from the foundations of the world. Something else. Something. It's finished. It is finished. The Old Testament types of the sacrifice and the redemption of Israel and that of people that done nothing but every year keep coming back and coming back. Yeah. Oh, but I'm glad he said it's finished. No more of it. Put an end to it. The great sacrifice is here. Amen. Need no more. I'm here. Amen. The Lamb of God. I think about it. Not only that, you think now, as he was finishing up, right there, he's getting close to the end. His presentation. Oh, I'm going to tell you something tonight. In Luke 23 and 46, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Oh, you think about that. You can't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. Oh, no, I don't know anybody that's ever been able to. But they tried to take the Lord's life several different times. The devil had him up on the mountain up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible said he hungered. And the devil told him, he even tried to get him to leap off of that mountain and let the angels bear him. Oh, he tried. They tried to stone him. Man, he'd just walk right through the midst of them. Oh, I'll tell you something. They tried several times to end his life. But he said, no man take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. And I have the power to take it up again. And in knowing that he possessed that in him. When it was finished and it was over, he said, into thy hands, redemption is paid for every man. Here's what we came to do. And he said, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. I give it, I yield it back to you. Amen. I'm glad for that. I think tonight over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight. I want you to look at that. Brother Lawson was getting on there a few minutes ago, and I was trying to say to myself, please, just that's enough. Don't go there. But Anyway, I want you to listen to this. He said something, but I want to give you just a little more of it. Moreover, brethren, he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you. And this is the word of Paul, the apostle, speaking and writing to us. Unless you have believed in vain, he said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also receive. Here it is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. Amen. Folks, he was buried, the Bible says. When he died, they took him off that cross. He had to be off of there before 6 in the evening and put him in that tomb. And the body, like Mary, Magdalene, she come out there early that morning, and the stone was rolled away. Amen. And she ran and got Peter and brought him back, and they looked into that tomb. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. I bet she was very perplexed. And where have they taken him? She was probably thinking in his mind. But I'll tell you something. She came back after they had left. The disciples left, and she come back. She seen two angels. One sitting at the head and one sitting at the feet where the Lord had laid. And that angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Amen. I'm glad tonight that my Lord's still on in that tomb. Just think about it. What would it be? It would be nothing but like Muhammad or Confucius or any of these others that claimed to have deity. It would be nothing. Folks, people don't make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem to go and see somebody laying in that tomb. Amen. But she got there and that stone was rolled away. You know, Pilate, he went to Pilate, asked Pilate if he could have the body of Pilate. But Pilate had told those men after they'd come back and buried him, they wanted a watch. They wanted a watch. Pilate said, you've got your watch. Make it as sure as you can. Yeah. There was some doubt right there. There was some doubt there.
Yeah.
Make it as sure as you can. Man, she come by there and seen it, our tomb rolled back, and it was empty. And those angels said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's not here. I'm going to tell you something. You can search this world over tonight, and you can look high and low, and you'll not find him in a tomb. But I tell you where you can find him. You can find him in an old-fashioned altar. Amen. You can find him up there when a heart cries out, Father, forgive me. I've sinned. I'm telling you something. As a sinner tonight, I'm done. And on the way to the devil's hell tonight, that Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever, amen, no matter what you've done, where you've been, who you are, what color your skin is, what nation you live in, what side of the tracks you were born, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, why? Because that tomb's empty. That tomb's empty tonight. And that's why. And the Bible says tonight that he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and he makes intercession for us tonight. Oh, I'm telling you something tonight. I'll tell you, he prepared all things for us. Amen. I'm thinking tonight, Revelation 1:18 tells us tonight, John the Revelator is on the Isle of Patmos. He begins to pin down the words He gets to verse 18. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, look at this thing. I'm alive forevermore. And have the keys, amen, of death, hell, and the grave. The grave and death have no power on him, amen. I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to take it up again. And he did so, proven, as Paul wrote to us right here in 1 Corinthians 15. He is the Son of God. Amen. He is the Son of God. And I tell you what, he said, look, all you needed was two witnesses to prove anything in a court of law. Look here what he said. And he said he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. Well, there's 13. Well, that's 13. But he said after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. He said, and the greater part remain in this present, but some are falling asleep. Some have done, life had expired, but they seen him. They seen him after his passion. Amen. Oh, I tell you something. But I like this right here. He said, verse 10, by the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. But because he said, I am what I am. He said, and his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Look at verse 14. Well, look at verse 12. He says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? He said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? But he did. He did. He said, and if Christ be not risen, now this is something right here. Paul said, all that I've wrote unto you, all the epistles that's going to be written of me, would be in vain, would be of naught, would be of no cause, would be of no effect. It would be for nothing. But he said, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. And he said, your faith is also vain. Yeah. Folks, can you imagine tonight what we did when we got on our knees and got on our face and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our hearts? It would be for naught tonight. It wouldn't be worth anything if Christ hadn't come out of that tomb. But praise be unto him tonight. He came out. Amen. He got up. And he walked out. Amen. He defied death once again. Amen. You realize that every time that he confronted death, I think about Lazarus over there, and I'll hush. But I think about Lazarus over there in John chapter 11. And he come after Lazarus had died. And he tarried before he got there, knowing that Lazarus was going to die. And then he approached Martha. Martha ran out to him and said, oh, Lord, if thou'd been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. But I know. But I know. If you only say, well, I know that he'll live again in the resurrection of the last day. And there's where it comes in verse 25. Amen. That's where it comes in right there. Hey, honey, let me tell you something, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And folks, then when he went over there and confronted death, but it couldn't hold itself back. Oh, I'm telling you something. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that he came forth, bound hand and foot. He said, loose him. And let him go. See, death can't hold you. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. One day, Paul said the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. He said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. That's my comfort tonight. But you know, one of these days, I was out there at daylight this morning. I was down there and was preaching to at a sunrise service down there. And I tell you something, it was breaking day over there, and the moon was shining over here. And I tell you something, it was getting a little lighter, and it was balancing, more balancing out in the light. And I was thinking, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come quickly. You know something, I'm just like this, Brother Lawson. I know you think of things a lot of times, but I'm just like this. Maybe the first day of the week, he came out of that tomb. Amen. The first day of the week, buddy, he appeared to them once again. If I'm not mistaken, in Acts 2, I believe it was the first day of the week when the Holy Spirit of God moved upon them. And folks, I've just got this feeling that the first day of the week, one Sunday morning, we might get up to go to the house of God, and we might enter into his house. Amen. Well, I'll tell you something. Did he not say, "Let not your heart be troubled"? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place. He's been working on that thing for almost 2,000 years. If he'd make this place in 6 days, can you imagine what that place is going to be like? Yeah. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will. Man, I'm going to tell you something. When God wills something, there ain't no changing it. Amen. Come again, receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As he was leaving this earth, in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, he said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," amen, not an imposter. He ain't going to delegate that to an angel or anything else. He said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you've seen him go up into heaven." Amen. Folks, he's coming, and I'm looking for him. Paul said in Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're in here tonight and you don't know him as Lord and Savior, let me tell you something. You'll see him one day. But if you leave this world unregenerated, lost, undone, and you've not been born again into the family of God by the new birth, you'll stand before him one day as a sinner, lost, with no hope whatsoever. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. It won't be pretty. It won't be pretty. When you see the awesome power of God in the face, buddy, as he looks at that person and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Oh, I can imagine that. But I'm glad I'll not be there. No, sir, I'll not be there. I'm going to be out here when he calls. When that trumpet sounds, if you know him tonight, you'll be out of here. I hope that you know him, all of you know him. But if there's someone in here tonight that doesn't, why don't you get under the blood? Redemption. He shed that blood for all of us. For every man, he shed it tonight. Redemption's been paid. You've got the ticket. It's waiting there for you. All you have to do is take it. Amen. Just take it and ask him to save your soul tonight, and he'll save you. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight. Father, for this another opportunity, Lord, that you've given us to preach. We thank you, Lord, for your love toward us. Father, you said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that life in Christ Jesus, Lord, tonight. And ask, Father, Lord, if there's someone here tonight, Lord, that doesn't have that life in our Savior tonight, Lord, that they will come to you and call upon your name. Father, Lord, while its opportunity is here, Lord, the Spirit of God, we pray, Lord, will speak and draw them, Lord, tonight. Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost would just arrest them right here tonight, Father, Lord, and bring them to their knees, Lord, tonight, that they might call upon you as Lord and Savior tonight. Lord, if there's someone here tonight, Father, Lord, they're not carrying that cross, Lord, like they used to. Lord, you said, if any man be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after you. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not carrying that cross, like they should. I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, they'll come. Lord, pick that cross up once again and follow you, Lord, tonight. Father, we thank you for all that you do, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.